Hey. Yeah, you. Hey. I'm talking to you. Don't tell anybody, but this is Billy West. For real, I'm really here. And, do I gotta prove it? All right. Hey, shut up and take my money. Shut up, you young idiot.
Shut up, both of you.
I don't care. Tell me to shut up. Tell me to talk. I'll talk.
Well, anyway, what these people are trying to say is, this is Project Nerd.
All right, everyone, welcome to the Nerdcast from Project Nerd. This is Season 5, Episode 19, and or Episode 102. As you can tell, I'm your host tonight, Tyler, which is amazing.
Terrifying.
It's going to be...
Everybody just stopped.
It's going to be awesome for a lot of reasons. tonight is, and I am loath to say this out loud, a very special episode for multiple reasons. And not like a fake special episode like Iggy likes to build things up. Like, literally, it's special, number one. Iggy obviously is not here. He is in recovery mode from Rocky Mountain Con, which looked amazing from the pictures I've seen. Erin is also MIA because she went to Rocky Mountain Con as well and came down with the con crud. But we do have everyone's favorite bearded man, Adam.
Hi, everybody.
And the thing that makes it a super special episode is we have...
Legitimately special episode, yes.
Legitimately special episode. We have two special guests. Josh and Drew from Sexy Nerd Science are here. Say hello, boys.
Hey, yeah.
Hello, boys.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah. It's my tag.
So, Sexy Nerd Science is here to help us talk about all things nerdy and amazing and sexy.
And
sciencey. I know that everyone, and this is, I hate to be in this guy, but I'm the only one on the podcast tonight who hasn't seen Spectre yet. So, we're going to talk about it without spoiling it for Tyler, which would be fantastic. And I'm really upset that Iggy's not here. It's been 2 weeks because last week you guys got an awesome episode from Tall Grass Film Festival with Iggy and Erin talking about Zines, talking about Tall Grass Film Festival. So we didn't get to talk about Fantasy Movie League, which I think is probably good and bad. Good because I was moving all last weekend, so I didn't. I totally forgot to set my lineup and got crushed. And Iggy went into first.
I'll say it. Iggy did a good job.
He did a very good.
He picked into first place. He picked a good slate.
He got into first place, and he was very excited about it. And so I immediately had to crush him this week and move back into first place.
Okay, good. I've been following this like real sports because I'm a Lions fan, and my team is just doing terrible.
Josh only has hope for somebody in the Project Nerd
so
team.
I'm just like, oh, man, this is getting close, you know.
This week things got a little tight. After failing miserably last week for not setting my slate, I moved back into a narrow number one. With about 10 million on Iggy. Mm-hmm. Adam, I believe, is still in third.
Still sitting third.
626. So third place is tight right now. So.
It's probably between Iggy and Tyler for first place. I can admit that. Unless they both like lose internet access for the next 3 weeks and are unable to set a lineup, I'm probably not winning. But third place is going to be a battle between me, Jared, and Annie. And it looks like, so we're fighting there. There's some fights going on still.
And I vaguely remember hearing like 2 weeks ago about how, 30 million separates one and two from three, four, and five. And now that seems to not be that big of an issue. So let's just hope everyone has to move at least one more time.
That's what we need. That's what we need.
I gave Iggy a mulligan to make the last few weeks exciting.
Of course.
I don't know what else is going on.
So pretty good. I mean, normally we talk box office a little bit. Spectre obviously won the weekend. What, 70 million, something like that. I don't have the numbers here.
70, almost 70 on the nose, 74. So 74. Okay.
And then new Peanuts movie. Does anybody plan on seeing the Peanuts movie? I love the Peanuts. I have the Blu-rays.
I love the Peanuts too. I just like the reviews have been very mixed, I guess I would be the best way to put it. So.
What about you guys? Any plans to see Peanuts?
I know my mom would love to, but it's not anything. She's been watching Christmas movies since the day after Halloween.
And
you have no idea.
9 days worth of Christmas movies?
It's terrible. Yeah. Have you seen Hallmark Channel? Like, it's Christmas.
skip right over that Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so I mean, a new Peanuts movie would be just fantastic for my mom, but I don't know if I'm ever gonna get to that. So,
I mean, it would be interesting to see what they do with it, but I'm not. I would rather go see Spectre a second time or Goosebumps or.
Yeah, we still haven't checked out Goosebumps, and that's something I think I really wanted to do, but.
Yeah, Goosebumps fell a lot harder this week than I thought it would, and Martian is still just doing work.
Yeah. So what ends up in the top five then this week, Tyler?
This week is tricky.
This past weekend.
What was
our top five? Yeah, let's finish that up.
Spectre at 70 million, and then a big drop. Peanuts movie at 44 million, and then a huge drop. Martian at 9, Goosebumps at 6.8, Bridge of Spies at 5.8. And then another pretty significant drop to like Hotel Transylvania 2, Burnt, which I really want to see. Didn't have a great opening. I mean, for a smaller movie, 2.8 is not terrible. They changed its release. It was going to be a limited release into wide, and then they canceled the limited and just went straight wide. I don't know if that helps or hurts. Like, there was no.
I think it really hurts because they. I didn't know about it until. What was the last movie we saw? Before Spectre. I don't know. I didn't see anything about it until 2 weeks ago. And then that was it. I really wanted to see it. And that, I think that's why it hurts is because you don't know about it. They do limited release and then it doesn't get to the masses until, you know, they want to do the wide release.
Well, yeah, I think the limited release helps build some buzz for those smaller movies. Like, things that people haven't heard about, then you're like, oh, okay. And you hear good things. You see some good scores, some good reviews come in for it. And you're then, oh, okay. Now I'm interested in seeing this movie and knowing when it opens live, that kind of, or opens wide. I think that definitely can help it some.
Yeah. I guess them changing from the limited to the wide is probably what hurt them.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that was an interesting, because usually with a smaller flick like that, you got to build a little word of mouth before you hit that wide release. And maybe we'll see a bump in it next week.
I mean, Bradley Cooper, I mean, you can't go wrong with him, right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't think so.
Much good for, I mean, Steve Jobs, you know, to have. I think Steve Jobs had great claim before it came out to wide release and still kind of just tanked, you know, like.
Yeah, I've been really baffled by the performance.
Isn't that the third Steve Jobs movie that's come out?
It's the second one, but I mean, I think this one was had a lot more going for it, I think. It looked,
I mean,
Michael Fassbender versus Ashton Kutcher, so.
Well, Michael Fassbender, I mean, between Michael Fassbender, you know, Jeff Daniels, I mean, all the different people in it, but then you also throw in the fact that it's written by Aaron Sorkin and it's directed by Danny Boyle. Like, I don't know how it's already making less than $1 million a week now in its fifth week. I mean, it's total gross. It hasn't even made back half of its budget yet. It's only made $16 million in 5 weeks. And like the buzz it had out of like the film festivals, like Toronto and stuff, was huge. So I was really shocked.
All its critic scores are good too. Like it's 81 or 83 or something like that on Rotten Tomatoes. Like,
I mean, think of it this way though. Josh, are you an Apple fanboy?
I am.
Did you go see the Steve Jobs movie?
I did not.
Exactly. That is point in case number one.
Well, it's A, because the tickets were so inexpensive. They needed to, if they were to make $250, then I would have been like, oh.
Put a silver embossed apple on the ticket, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, my ticket's rose gold? Oh, I'm buying this.
Like. Hey, speaking of souvenirs, did you guys get patches when you guys saw The Martian?
No.
No?
Yes.
Is that a thing?
No, we got Ares mission patches.
Yes.
Like, what?
Night premiere. Yeah.
So, damn it.
I would have gotten a sweet Ares mission, like, pin or something, but.
I mean,
I've yet to get a prize pox, so, because there's a conspiracy. Also, Martian is now, next week, it will break $200 million total gross, which is pretty impressive, I think. So. On pace to end up outdoing like Interstellar and possibly Interstellar for sure, but possibly also Gravity, which is.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is this going to pass Gravity or not?
I mean, from a science perspective, I think that The Martian had a lot more going for it than Gravity or even Interstellar did. it's something that, I mean, I'm part of the Society of Physics Students at University of Nebraska, Omaha. And it was one of the things where we almost tried to get the rights to show the movie in the planetarium, like during opening week. And now that I'm seeing these box office numbers, I wish we totally would have, because we probably could have broke even, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's pulling it down, and it's not only like the source material was solid, like they worked hard to make the science realistic, but I mean, it just proves Ridley Scott still got it. Like, this is probably one of the best movies he's made in a long time. And yeah, that's coming from a really, really big Ridley Scott fanboy. So.
Well, did you guys read the book for The Martian?
We did not.
I did not read it. I have since gone back and talked to a lot more people who have about the science that was left out. And now I feel like I've been gypped out of that.
Like, oh, that was great.
Yeah.
But now I feel like there was so much more that I could have gotten from the book. So I'm hoping, like you guys said, that there's probably like a director's cut somewhere going to leak that's going to have, you know, all these extra scenes in it.
Yeah. Yeah. For every like line of science that made it into the movie, there was 50 more that didn't. And, and that's not talking just like the scenes they cut out, but straight up like the amount of work he goes into and figuring out like number of joules needed per day and stuff like that. It gets pretty, pretty awesome.
Yeah, and like I was telling Josh, from somebody who's not knowledgeable in all that science, I mean, it made sense to me, but I also didn't read the book, so I couldn't be like, you know, they left so much out. Because I'm sure if I would have read the book, it would have been more so upsetting.
Well, see, for me, I'm with you. I'm not like, I enjoy the science, but what they did for the movie, I think, was perfect. It appealed definitely to a very wide audience, but there was still some science in there for the other folks. And I would love a half hour extended director's cut where they just kind of filter in some more of those lines where he goes through not all of the science, but more of it, so you get kind of the ideas more of what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, I love the book, but I also love the movie, and it is Ridley Scott, so the odds of us getting 15 different director's cuts is pretty good. So,
and I'm pretty sure as of 102 episodes, this is probably episode number 20 where The Martian has been talked about. So,
I mean, we haven't said Andy Weir yet, so we should probably mention Andy Weir.
At least 20. Yeah.
Actually, probably exactly. We're on 22, and we started listening a couple months before that.
Yeah. Our podcast is on episode 22. And I think, yeah, we've been steadily checking out the Nerdcast every single time we do one.
All right, so that's a little bit about movies. We are recording Monday this week, which means that in approximately a couple hours for most of us, we will be heading to our video game store to pick up Fallout 4. Or am I speaking out of turn? Are you guys?
No, I would have loved to pick up Fallout 4, but I had to get my car out of tow, which is a sad, sad story.
Yeah. We went to a con this weekend, and Drew's car got towed.
Oof.
Yeah. So that was a big four times what Fallout would have cost me. Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. Everyone go check out Anime NebraskaCon, though. That was really, really fun show in Omaha here. No parking, though, anywhere.
Yeah, terrible. 6 hours. 6 hours, and they got me.
Are you going to pick it up, Adam, or are you too assassined out right now? Are you in deep in the assassin world?
I mean, I will lose instant cred with all of our listeners. Never been a fan of the Fallout series.
I mean, that's literally the dumbest thing you've ever said.
I know. Apparently, this is true. And I accept that. I can accept that. But they never got me in. I never got comfortable with the
engine.
For me, it's like I enjoy open world games. I enjoy RPGs, but I'm never comfortable in that regard when it's dealing with firearms, like guns and stuff like that. I'm not as comfortable or familiar with. I don't play a lot of first person shooters, so I'm not as familiar and comfortable with the terminology and the types of weapons and that kind of stuff. So
that's why you have the VAT system, man, and your Pip-Boy.
I don't know what any of that means.
Do you have a you have your Pit Boy and you can pause the game and then you target things and you get percentages? It's the VAT system. It's serious. It's awesome. Because like the first two Fallouts were turn-based games. Like they were like not they were like top down, like isometric. Like first person was fairly new come Fallout 3, but they still left a lot of that. I don't want to say turn-based because it is real time, but at any time in combat with your action points, you can freeze the action and specifically pick out targets and then start the action again, and then you'll execute those actions. So it's not like combat. You don't have to play combat in a first person style.
Yeah. Okay.
That makes sense.
And that was something that was really, I mean, new to me because I played FPSs a lot, you know, in first gen Xbox. And I mean, when Fallout 3 came out, it was kind of, it was like a meld of both of the worlds, if you will. So I really enjoy Fallout. I want to get it soon.
Yeah. I just love it for the aesthetic, like that whole alternate history where after the 1950s, instead of focusing on microprocessors, we doubled down on nuclear technology. So the computers are all terrible, but we have nuclear-powered cars and miniature nuclear weapons and crazy nuclear fallout after the end of like the fossil fuel world. It's like the whole backstory of why everything has this. It's the year 20-something, but we have everything. The aesthetic is this like very 1950s shtick with, you know, the bobbleheads and the commercials and stuff like that. I think is so much fun.
Yeah. I never got into the Fallout games, unfortunately. It's not something that I've never felt like appeal to. You know, I've always seen them and I'm just like, oh man, that looks like so much fun. Even like you said, like the story behind it, you know, like that whole environment looks super sweet. And I just wish I could have picked it up sooner. And now I feel like there's been, what, like five Fallouts now, if you count, like, New Vegas.
There's been six if you count Tactics, but like mainly four big ones. This one will be the fifth.
And then I just heard that on Xbox, like, Xbox 360 titles that you can now play on your Xbox One, you know, or that are coming out for the Xbox One, they only have one Fallout game that you can play that's transferred over now.
Like, well, as of now, I think it's just Fallout 3. If I remember correctly, but
yeah, Adam's shaking his head.
I think that's right. Yeah.
But, I mean, that's the 100 set of games that they released for backwards compatibility was garbage. I mean, who played Viva Pinata?
Lots of people. Well,
that's that's that thing that, yeah, I play PS4. I've been a PlayStation guy, never really got into Xbox. And so all my friends are like, oh man, you should see the games they're coming out with for backwards compatibility. I'm like, or when they mentioned that they were going to do backwards compatibility, they're like, oh, it's going to be awesome. We're going to get to play all these cool games. And they drop that list. And I'm like, how are you feeling about that backwards compatibility?
Yeah. I was hyped for it. I was exactly there. And then like, I mean, I know that they'll bring a couple of big names within that 100, but it'll be a while before you get all those, before you're able to sell your Xbox 360 for sure.
I'm just saying, if you guys like want to get in on the Fallout at the ground floor, go to GOG.com. You can get Fallout 1, Fallout 2, Fallout Tactics for $30, DRM free. Download them, play them right now. And right now they're running a deal. If you buy Fallout 1, they're going to throw in a free copy of Elder Scrolls Arena and Elder Scrolls Daggerfall. So just
nice. What does that play on Steam?
GOG, so goodoldgames.com. It's just it's like a DRM download of the game, and you just boot it up and run it. But you can put it into Steam. I'm pretty sure it's probably on Steam for the same price.
Okay.
Most of the older games that are on GOG are usually also on Steam. So
see, and I've kind of slacked on PC gaming for, I don't know, last, I guess, since the podcast started, really. It's really just and PC is just used for the podcast at this point. But I mean, I was heavy into DayZ, and that was like pretty much life at that point. Windows Walking Simulator 2015.
Yeah. On the upside, Fallout 1 came out what now 18 years ago, so I guarantee your computer can probably run it.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Jeez,
I know that I was in junior high when it came out. I remember that. So.
Is it Mac OS compatible? Because that's my biggest problem.
no.
partition.
So
partition,
still partition. Can't play.
Get a yep. virtual. Just get a little get a little parallels. Get a little run a virtual machine. It'll be fun.
I'm seeing all these new games or the new expansion coming out for the Old Republic, and I'm just like I have a 2 terabyte hard drive on my computer. I'm just like, I will partition this thing just so I can play the Old Republic. Like, I need to. And so now maybe Fallout as well.
Yeah. But like Adam said, Fallout, or I guess Tyler said, Fallout's coming out tonight. And I already know 10 people who are kind of hitting it. I guess they're doing a rolling release. So our time, it'll be 11. Your guys' time would be 10. They can pick it up now, right?
Yeah, it's 11. It's 11 our time too, but yeah, 10 o'clock. So we're not in mountain time, but yeah, my copy is sitting 2 hours away on a shelf. I can't go get it for another couple of days. So.
Cause he moved.
I moved and I pre-ordered it and it's sitting somewhere. Cause I ordered the Pip-Boy and it's sitting somewhere else.
It's worth the drive. Go get it, buddy.
I got to get someone to ship it to me.
KC?
I'm in KC now, but my Pip-Boy's back in Manhattan.
Oh,
so
that's quite a project for Manhattan.
That was a follow-up pun. But so I feel I'm the odd man out now. But we hit the box office. Everyone in the room saw the box office winner except for me. So how was the most recent outing of Mr. James Bond?
I think there was not enough Christoph Waltz. I think there could have been more. I felt like there was so much hype between having this perfect Bond villain. And to me, I felt like he wasn't in enough of it. I mean, I guess he was trying to be this specter of a character, you know, and not always like he was there without having to be there. But I just think it took away from the acting. You know, I was really excited to see more of him. And I don't know. It was still good. Like I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I didn't think they wrecked nearly as many Aston Martins as they said they did. But
I'm pretty sure every time.
What was that number? Like 34 million in Aston Martins? Is that what they said?
Which I feel like is just the two, you know, like.
You think about it, yeah.
Oh, but that one, the DB5, I still cry. No, but I mean, I think you're spot on with that critique that, you know, more Christoph Waltz is always good. I don't know. There's never a movie where I'm like, you know, that would have been better with a little less Christoph Waltz probably. But I think it really is kind of hearkening back to the older Bonds, where if you go and you look at the Spectre story and Blofeld in particular, like he's in it for like 10 minutes and just gives this menacing persona. And then somebody else's job to be the actual bad guy in the movie.
That's what happens when you're the boss. You get other people to do dirty work.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, for me, it did have a lot of those old school James Bond feels, which I enjoyed. I mean, I've always liked the James Bond movie. So if you're not a fan of the 60s and early 70s Bond films, I could see people looking at this one and being like, oh, it's shallow. It's not, doesn't have as much going on as like a Skyfall or not as dark and gritty as Casino Royale, those types of things. And I think that's okay. Like I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I mean, Casino Royale and Skyfall were, I mean, great, but I do enjoy that they went back, kind of took it back to the older style and minimalized it.
Yeah, well, he couldn't stay dark and gritty forever. Like that was the whole point of the reboot with Casino Royale. He's not James Bond yet, but he's going to become James Bond. So I'm okay with it getting a little bit, because they brought a little of that camp in even in Skyfall, and I love Skyfall, but Skyfall definitely had some of that, had inklings of the camp, and then the end of it definitely set it up to be like, now we're into like your dad's James Bond territory at the end of Skyfall. So.
And I did, I mean, I liked kind of the phasing out, this little subplot of how MI6 is something that is old and doesn't need to be around anymore, you know, and with this new blossoming idea, they can completely replace, you know, the whole 00 program. And I think that is kind of, I mean, I've always liked that about how these are old movies, you know, they have an old storyline to them, but the way they modernize them for the times, I think is huge, you know. And the other antagonist character that was played by, I can't remember his name, but he played Moriarty on Sherlock, and I can't remember the actor's name, but I was so excited to see him. I thought he did a great job too. Uh-huh. Like just conniving dickhead character.
He played Moriarty again, just with a different name.
Yeah, I was like elbowing. I was like, it's Moriarty, like in the middle of the movie. Like, I was just...
Oh yeah, my wife slapped me. Just, like, oh wow, okay, geez, yeah, I know, it's him. It's great. I'm awesome. It's exciting. Please stop hitting me.
Watch the movie now.
No, yeah.
Speaking of Sherlock, too, you know, I mean, it's, they left us with just like, oh, he's back. And now I've been waiting since Christmas last year.
Have you seen the trailers for the special, the Christmas special?
Oh, I have not. No, I don't want to be spoiled.
Well, so the special's not part of the normal series. They're doing they're doing a Victorian one, like an actual 1800s one with the two of them.
Yeah.
It looks fun. So, mm-hmm. Or New Year special, maybe. Is that what it is? A New Year special. It's going to come out.
Right. I think it's New Year's. It's Christmas is for Doctor Who.
Yeah. It'll be broadcast simultaneously in the US and the UK on January 1st. So,
oh, awesome.
I need to know how strong was Dave Bautista's henching game. Like, is he henching with the best of them? Does he have strong hench game?
That was one of the scenes I was up for.
We're going to come back to the need to clarify one of the scenes I was up for after we talk a little bit about Dave Bautista's henching game.
I was not aware that wasn't aware that he was going to be in it. And as soon as we got to the credit or the, you know, the main entry credits, I saw his name. I was like, oh no, he's going to be here. You know? And I was like, I was really excited for that. And, I mean, I thought he did really well. It was weird to see him with facial hair for sure. Cause that's never really happened before. I don't ever think.
I feel like Batista's character was all muscle and nothing else. I mean, I feel like James Bond was constantly outsmarting him. And I felt like, you know, most of these Bond henchmen, you know, I always think back that, you know, like Oddjob, you know, I'm a huge GoldenEye fan, at least the video game. And I mean, it was one of those things where, like, I know he's not in GoldenEye, but like, I mean, the character for Oddjob was, I mean, sneaky little tiny Asian man, like in a... throw his hat at you and cut your head off. Like that's something like fearful. And like, he wasn't just all muscle. He wasn't just this brawn guy, but you're introduced to Batista's character and it's just like, bam, slam this guy's head on the table. And now he's the big man on campus and big bad guy.
Yeah. I'd agree with that. A little underdeveloped probably. And, but in terms of like, again, I think it is almost back to that old school guy. He reminds me more, less of Oddjob, more of Jaws from, Jaws was in View to a Kill, I think. So just keeps coming and keeps coming and has that thing that is, makes him almost impossible to kill, it seems like.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there was a lot of times where I'm like, okay, just die already. You know?
I mean, the way that he went out though was crazy. I mean, that was something.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think I just really enjoyed it because as I was watching it, I'm like, hey, this is a Bond movie for people to get into. Like, I don't have children. If I did, like, this could be a movie that I could take them to and be like my dad or my mom actually is the one who made me watch James Bond, like, and got me into it. Like, this is the movie I think you could show them and get into it because it's fun. It's exciting. It's got just a bunch of stuff going on with it. I don't know. I guess you can tell I really enjoyed it.
No, and with the Dave Bautista thing, I mean, he's a recognizable guy now, you know, with Guardians and stuff like that, and obviously wrestling. He's a guy that people would like to see in a movie, and for him to be in a Bond movie was, I think, a bigger step up, even though he was just a henchman.
And so we have one more Daniel Craig Bond, I think, right? Or,
well, this was supposed to be the last one, but since, like, during the promotional of this, he's basically said that he's still in. So I don't know what to expect, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I have another set of three, I think.
Yeah, well, I just thought there was a contract. I thought I remember hearing something where he's in contract for one more
which was
James
Spectre.
Bond. I thought even after Spectre. But I know there was talks of who they were going to get to replace him. So I'm assuming he's one away, you know, each time. Like, they're only going to sign him for one more and then kind of just keep it open every time.
Yeah, I feel like he's kind of sent mixed signals about it over the last couple of years, so I don't know what to expect. I'm cool with him staying on, but, I mean, Bond changes. That's just part of the game, so that's cool. I'm cool with that, too.
That's one of those roles, though, that I think's got to be very, very tough, because how awesome is it to be James Bond? Like, I want to be James Bond. If you ask me, do you want to be James Bond, my answer is going to be yes, but I could see after doing several movies, like, do you want to do something else? I could see my answer being yes as well. And that being, you know, making that a little bit kind of tough.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of a typecast, but not really. But at the same time, you never stop being Bond. Like, even Timothy Dalton, who did two, anytime I see Timothy Dalton in something, no matter how far removed it is from Bond, it's still, hey, that's James Bond. And he's in Hot Fuzz running the general manager of a grocery store, and it's still like, man, James Bond right there. Like, I want to go on to Simon Pegg and be like, what was it like to be James Bond in a movie?
that was the exact movie that I thought of when you said, every time I see Timothy Dalton, I'm like, yeah, he was in Hot Fuzz and he was awesome in that. But yes, he was
still James Bond. You want to go up to Simon Pegg and like, so how cool was it to beat up James Bond? So
we watched that, well, like,
it was just a couple days ago.
Hot Fuzz, great movie. Going back to the reoccurringness of characters, I mean, you look at Hugh Jackman, he's finally stepping down from Wolverine. And I mean, that's kind of the thing that I would assume happens with a long running 007.
But I think Wolverine technically was built around, like, I think the movie Wolverines were built around Hugh Jackman himself, whereas, like, Hugh Jackman didn't get typecast into the same roles because, I mean, Hugh Jackman's a very diverse actor when in the kind of things he's played since taking on Wolverine, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Hugh Jackman, and I don't know if this is a credit to Hugh Jackman's talent or just the style of that, you know, over-the-top comic booky movie. I mean, Hugh Jackman is Wolverine, but if I see Hugh Jackman, I don't immediately think Wolverine like I would with the James Bond or someone like that.
Yeah, I think that hits it pretty much spot on.
I felt like Dante's Inferno, I was just waiting for Pierce Brosnan to have some sort of, like, weird gadget to pull out to, like, oh, I'm going to disarm this volcano now.
Pierce Brosnan can basically play James Bond in other movies, and I'm totally okay with it. I just recently found out, I was reading about James Bond with the movie coming up, and it's not a great movie, but I love it, is the remake of Thomas Crown Affair with...
Oh, yeah, it's a fun one. Yeah.
With him and Rene Russo and Dennis Leary.
Dennis Leary, yeah.
And so I didn't find out until I read it, and like someone made a comment of it. So when you sign on to play James Bond, you basically, part of the contract is you never get to wear a tuxedo in another movie ever again. And he only gets away with it in Thomas Crown Affair because he's wearing it at the dance where they tango, and he has like the shirt undone and the tie undone and like the shirt front and the jacket open, and he's not rocking an actual tuxedo. Apparently that's part of the contract when you sign on. Like, if you become James Bond from now on, if you ever show up in a movie, you don't get to wear a tuxedo anymore. I don't know if that's apocryphal or if that's a real true statement, but I definitely read that in the last week and was like, huh, I would have never thought of that, but.
Yeah, no, I can't think of any other movie where I've seen a James Bond in a suit.
I'm wondering, I mean, that must be a new thing, because I feel like I've definitely seen Sean Connery in a tuxedo, not as James Bond.
League?
I don't think so, in League.
No, not League. It was on TV the other day. I couldn't remember.
What's the one with him and Catherine Zeta-Jones where they're...
Yeah, Entrapment?
Yeah, or what's the one with him and Wesley Snipes?
Rising Sun.
I feel like those two had like galas or balls or something.
I mean,
in them.
He always plays somebody who would be rich and going to things where you would wear a tuxedo.
Yeah.
I feel like he's definitely been in a tuxedo.
Maybe it's a suit, not a tuxedo.
Well, yeah.
Mm. All right. Listeners, if you know of a movie where Sean Connery wears a tuxedo, or if you're sitting in front of a computer listening to us, which you probably are, Google this, find out for us, and let us know. Because I feel like Sean Connery's our guy.
He's the guy that's got to break the rule.
Yeah, I think so.
Or be the exception to the rule. Because
I feel like Roger Dalton and Roger Moore and Timothy Dalton haven't been in enough other movies where it's going to be possible. But Sean Connery's been in basically everything.
So apparently the article, I found it, that I read, it was on Cinema Blend, but they're specifically talking about Pierce Brosnan gave away his rights to wear a tuxedo in any other film. And then they show shots of the Thomas Crown Affair with the undone white tie and the undone shirt. So maybe it was just him. Maybe everyone else was fine, but they had to stick Pierce Brosnan with that. So,
well, he was trying to be Bond for a long time. And that TV show he was on got picked up in the 80s. So it wouldn't have been Timothy Dalton. It would have been Pierce Brosnan in the 80s. Gosh, whatever TV show he was on, though. And so he wasn't able to be Bond. Remington Steele, that's the one. So maybe he was petitioning so hard that they were like, all right, you can do it, but you can't wear a tuxedo. And he was like, fine, sign me on. I'm good.
Well, I mean, and this is just kind of dated because how old I am, you know, like GoldenEye was my first, like, that's how I got interested into James Bond, was playing GoldenEye. And from that, I mean, like, that's all been Pierce the whole time. You know, that's all I think about. And I just did the karate chop hand thing because that was, I mean, that's to me, like, what I mean, I go back and have watched the James Bond movies since then. You know, there's always marathons on TV. And I mean, yeah, no one's going to play it like Connery. And I was so upset in Skyfall when they had a perfect opportunity to bring a Scotsman actor in and they chose Dumbledore instead of Sean Connery. But I mean,
I'm just saying, License to Kill, throwing knives only in the stacks. That's the way you do it. Oh. Or proximity mines only in the temple.
Right.
Not,
yeah.
Not License to Kill. But yeah, throwing knives in the stacks, License to Kill. That's the way you do it.
Oh, totally. No way, because if you die once, you basically might as well just unplug your controller, because you're gonna spawn and somebody's gonna be standing where they can hit you from behind with a throwing knife basically every time.
And no odd job. That's also a rule.
Oh. Too short. No, you can't hit him in the head.
I feel like, yeah, odd job every time you threw a throwing knife. It's going right for the head, though, for him.
Did anybody get the remastered version for, like, the Wii?
They took Pierce Brosnan out. They put Daniel Craig in that.
Yeah, yeah. It was weird.
They remastered Daniel Craig in there.
Did anyone play, like, the like, port version, though, they made of From Russia with Love recently that, like, used young Sean Connery? Like, it was a game. I can't remember what system it was on, but it was a From Russia with Love, like, FPS.
Hmm. No.
No. I've seen a lot of cool GoldenEye mods, though, that they've used for, like, Unreal engines and put...
Those Unreal Engine, renewals are phenomenal.
Yeah. I'd play all of those games.
Yes.
Like, when I see them, I'm like, make this. Somebody make this, please.
Some of them are so amazing, and some of them are just creepy. Like, the super realistic Mario Brothers Unreal one. Have you guys seen that one? That one just creeps me out.
Yeah, I mean, as far as video games are concerned, I mean, I got to stick to my classic roots. You know, every time it's always GoldenEye. I finally hooked up an N64 the other day and was playing that. And I can't get enough of how much I used to miss playing that game and how awesome. I mean, four person on the screen, big screen TV now, just would look so much better than it did on my little 13-inch TV that I had in my room when I was younger playing GoldenEye. So, I mean, we need to orchestrate one of these remakes or something like that. I hear you guys have a publishing company. Let's publish some video games.
The trick is you gotta get a good rotation going. Like, when we would shut ourselves up in the basement for a weekend at a time with lots of Surge and Doritos. You couldn't just play GoldenEye. Like, you had to swap them out. Like, our rotation was typically that, Turok 2 Seeds of Evil, and Duke Nukem 3D, just on rotation.
Once you got Mario Kart?
But for first-person shooters. And then, Mario Kart. See,
like, if you're rotating through in the weekend, you got to get away from first-person every now and again.
Not really, no. There was a lot of, drank a lot of surge. And then Perfect Dark, when that came out, that became a big part of the rotation. I don't know, a lot of people didn't get into it, but God, that was so much fun.
Time Splitters was another really good one that I...
Time Splitters was solid.
Yeah. And I think even Time Splitters had weapons and like levels designed to look like James Bond levels from GoldenEye. I vaguely remember that. I mean, I know Perfect Dark had a couple, but I miss the games. Something else I forgot to mention while we were talking about movies earlier. I know we're still kind of on our James Bond kick here, but you guys are interested in Movie League coming up. What about this next week in the box office? You know, we've got, Hunger Games for sure, probably going to steal the number one spot. But, I mean, number two, I was looking at upcoming movies, you know, and I can't seem to be thinking about what ones will be coming up here in the next week or so.
Yeah, I mean, this weekend, I honestly don't know. I would not be surprised if Spectre or Peanuts wins again this weekend, because this weekend the only three, like, what you would call wide releases are The 33 about the Chilean miners, the Antonio Banderas movie, Love the Coopers, the one that's like the family comedy with like John Goodman and Ed Helms and Olivia Wilde, it's got a lot of big names in it, but it's not,
yeah,
it's not really been marketed at all. And then My All American, which I haven't heard anything about, and it's wide release in the sense it's like 1500 theaters, which isn't like really wide release. And then everything else is like super small, indie flicks or a lot of documentaries this weekend. But then next weekend,
right over this next weekend, and just went right into
That's because there's nothing. I mean, there's not, the 33's had a decent marketing push the last couple of weeks, but
yeah,
I don't know anyone who's super pumped about going seeing the 33. But then next weekend,
a mine accident. That sounds like it's going to be a swell time.
Yeah. But then next week, next week you get Hunger Games, you get The Night Before, and you get The Secret in Their Eyes, which all three of those, Hunger Games, I think, wins that weekend in a walk. But The Night Before and The Secret in Their Eyes are definitely going to make money. Apparently there's a movie coming out that weekend called Hashtag Horror.
Oh, no.
I mean, I feel like
Legend is coming out that weekend, too, I believe, right?
Because this has, like, legitimate people in it, though.
I think so. When is... Yeah, Tyler, when's Legend coming out?
Legend also comes out that weekend as well. But that's a limited release. It's coming out in New York, LA only that weekend, and then wide release, I believe, Thanksgiving weekend.
I'm unreasonably excited for that movie.
Right?
Tom Hardy.
I just rewatched Bronson recently, and it got me way pumped about it.
Have you guys seen The Drop?
I haven't yet. That's the one with him and Gandolfini, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to see that one.
Watch it. It's good. Good. Definitely a good use of 2 hours of your life.
Yeah, totally. I think definitely Hunger Games is probably going to just walk there. But I think The Night Before, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, I think, is going to be a good character to kind of bring that movie beyond just, I mean, The Interview was good, you know, as far as, you know, what I was expecting for it, but I wasn't expecting much. I think, you know, this is going to be a little bit better than that, just because you have a better character or better actor in it, bring kind of their take to it. So I'm kind of excited to see The Night Before. I think it's going to be good too.
Mm-hmm. I really like Anthony Mackie, and I think this is going to be a good role for him, like playing off of Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Seth Rogen. I think he's going to do really, really well in that. I'm excited about it. My wife keeps sending me trailers. She's like, we need to go see this. I'm like, okay, we'll go see it.
Yeah, I think I'm probably going to hit up Hunger Games like Thursday night, midnight showing, not midnight, but you know, the evening showing there, and then probably sometime over the weekend catch The Night Before. I think that's... It's going to be a weekend where I'm going to have to double dip in the movie theater, I think.
Yeah. Speaking of trailers, with all the new big releases stuff, like a lot of trailers popped in the last 2 weeks since last time we were on here. I mean, some of them I'm look pretty excited about. The push for the Heart of the Sea has gotten really strong all of a sudden. Like, that's got a lot of, when does that one open? I don't even know. Does anyone know when that movie comes out?
It's into December, right?
Is the Heart of the Sea, I know this is going to sound, is the Heart of the Sea the Moby Dick one, right?
Or? Yeah, the Moby Dick, the, what's his name? Ron Howard and IMAX and stuff, but I don't like that. I just feel like the marketing push for that's been really strong the last week or two. When I went to the theater this last weekend, it was posters and trailers and stuff for it everywhere.
Yeah, I've seen it on TV a lot too, like on different shows I've been watching.
Full theatrical trailer for The Hateful Eight came out this last week, which I'm super pumped about. I really want to find somewhere that's going to be showing it in the 70 millimeter. Because I feel like that needs to be done. So Adam was aware of it. I was not. Until this trailer came out, I did not know they were making a sequel to the Johnny Depp Alice in Wonderland. But now there's a trailer for it.
I did not know that either until I saw the trailer for, or I think there was a movie poster I saw for it, like that leaked. And I'm just like, oh, cool. They're actually, I heard there was talks of it, but I never know it got the upper hand to go, you know, the go ahead for it. Just because, I mean, I felt that by now people are kind of tired of Johnny Depp.
Yeah. And as if the hype train was not chugging along fast enough, a new international trailer for Star Wars The Force Awakens with more, even more scenes and footage that weren't in the trailers before. And I didn't think I could get more excited about it, but God damn it, I'm so pumped about this movie. It's stupid. I mean, I need to stop absorbing all the things Star Wars because it'll end up just being a disappointment. But oh my God, I'm so excited.
If you guys are interested at all, me and Drew actually rented out a theater here in Bellevue, Nebraska for Star Wars. And we're having an event at the University of Nebraska, Omaha before the movie where we're going to go into like Star Wars cosplay and trivia and, you know, have like a couple science shows. We've got the observatory opened up. I don't know if you guys knew this, but one of Saturn's moons looks just like the Death Star. So we're hoping for like a clear picture for us to be able to show that on the telescope. And basically, you know, have a science-y night with Star Wars stuff as well. And then after that, we've rented out 96 seats in a theater. And we've been slowly selling every single one of those seats off to friends and family and people around school. But yeah, I'm super excited for Star Wars. It's probably my license plate on my car is Obi-Wan Kenobi. You know, like I'm stoked. I can't get more and more excited for Star Wars. The Japanese trailer, when I saw it, I was just like, oh my God, like there's like 15 extra seconds of clips in here.
When it does that shot of like the silhouetted TIE fighters over the sunset, I mean, it was game on right there.
Yeah, I think I'm so excited for this movie. I don't even care if, you know, mask comes off and it's Jar Jar Binks. Like, I'm okay. You know?
And then the other big one that's gotten a lot of buzz, but I still do not know how I feel about it, even though I haven't really been into it recently, but I was a big, big, big all three games and WoW guy, is the Warcraft movie. The trailer just came out for that, and I know that that's been in the works for ages. And lore wise, they're going back to like Warcraft 1, like humans versus orcs. So like the story is only familiar to people who are, you know, really into Warcraft 1 or really into the WoW, the world of Warcraft lore. But yeah, it looks interesting. It's very, very CGI-y. So, I mean, it's,
yeah, I mean, yeah, they basically have to build all of the orcs because there's not like,
yeah, hey, so
you look like you could play an orc. Go on to TV there. Thanks.
I mean, I will say that, at KC Comic Con, seeing, oh man, Manu Bennett there, like seeing him in person and then thinking back, you know, to the orc that he played, I was just like, okay, like I can kind of see it, you know, and then he was on stage even doing the actual, you know, like speaking the language, and I'm just like, okay, yep, he's still got it. Like, I could totally see this person being turned into that orc from The Hobbit. So I think, you know, if the budget is in the Lord of the Rings trilogy kind of budget, then maybe they might be able to get some lively looking orcs out of the World of Warcraft movie. But my girlfriend's a huge Warcraft fan, And she was not very impressed when she saw the teaser trailer. Oh, she just said she changed her mind. So maybe she is a little more impressed about the trailer than she was the teaser trailer. But the very first thing she did is like pull up the real characters from the game and compare them to how they looked in the trailer. She's like, they look nothing alike. How would you think this is even? So I was like, oh, there's the expert right there. She read all the books and everything. I mean, she's a huge nerd when it comes to that.
I don't know. I'll hold out judgment because I want it to be good. And it's going back to a good part of the lore that, you know, maybe not as known. You know, there's no Thrall and no, you know, none of that really well-known Warcraft 3, Warcraft 2, World of Warcraft stuff. Like, but I don't know. I think it looks fun.
The big trailer I saw at Spectre was an updated trailer for The Revenant, which, I mean, the more I see about it, the more I'm just like 100% on board with everything. I mean, you mentioned Inuyasha and DiCaprio and Tom Hardy. Like, I was definitely on board to begin with, but it just keeps getting... I don't know how it's not going to win everything, so...
Yeah, I mean, you put those three names in the hopper and pull out some Civil War era, you know, epic. I don't know how you don't win all the things.
I mean, I'm gunning for Leo, hoping he can get something out of this, but I don't know. I feel like... I don't know. I'm kind of trying. The trailers just aren't doing it for me for that. I don't know why I'm not as excited. I mean, like the plot, thinking in my mind, like, oh man, that's such a good idea. Like, I want to see this. You know, I want to be excited for it, but I just can't. There's something missing, and I don't know what it is. You know, maybe it's the hype for Star Wars that's got me just turned off forever.
I don't know. I'm just, regardless of what happens, I'm excited to see Inuyasha's very specific directing style applied to this sort of movie, you know, like in the woods and like the nature and stuff like that, and seeing him do, you know, some long cuts, do some interesting stuff cinematography wise, I think will be fun. So,
yeah, I mean, the trailer looks beautiful. Like, I mean, it looks like it's going to be well directed. I just don't know if I can get into the storyline as much as the Hateful Eight storyline. Like, I barely know anything about that storyline, and I'm just like, oh, I want to see this so bad. All these murderers and thieves in a hotel, let's do this. So I guess it looks good.
Yeah, I think that's probably what's missing for a lot of people. There's not a lot of dialogue. Even in the updated trailer did give you a little more look into what's going on, and actually like Leo talking. And so you can actually hear people talking in this one. So it had me very excited. I was completely on board already. So that's not necessarily a fair comparison.
What's the line from Django Unchained where he's like, you had my attention, now you have my curiosity. What was it? Oh, I was going to quote that and I can't quite remember the name or the full quote.
Is it the other way around?
You sparked my interest.
You had my curiosity, but now you have my attention, or is it?
Yeah, something like that.
And you have my curiosity. I kind of want to watch that.
Right? I need to watch it again, apparently, because I don't remember exactly. So, at least we know what we're all doing.
Apparently, it wasn't Oscar worthy. So, I mean, that's what.
it was for Christoph. Obviously, he was simply trying to ascertain. Just the way he does every line of that movie, it's just brilliant.
Oh, I think. I mean, a lot of times, you know, when you have, I've noticed this about I have a very proper English speaking philosophy teacher. And I mean, I feel like with the accent and with the language barrier, either comes people who have mastered the English language more so than I have and are able to elegantly put things in a way where I could never even come close. And I think Christoph Waltz says, he somehow went from, you know, like, I'm just going to master this, you know, and just have this beautiful way of putting words. And I think it comes with, you know, just being a brilliant actor and just awesome when it comes to being able to do accents and voices and personas, that he's somehow picked up this ability to do anything awesome, you know, like just master of every language. Because even his German's fantastic in Django, you know, I mean, he's...
Yeah, no, he's awesome. I'm trying to think what else is going on right now. I mean, we talked on Fallout, obviously, but there's two other huge games coming out tonight, tomorrow as well. Between the third installment of StarCraft II, Legacy of the Void comes out tomorrow, which is huge. And then a game that I will not get to play until it comes off of its timed exclusive, but the new Tomb Raider comes out tomorrow.
A whole year.
I'm a little upset about that. Like, that's
just ridiculous.
Like, timed exclusives, I'm okay. I'm totally okay with timed exclusives, but a year is a little out of hand. Like it's an out of date game at that point, especially at the period that we're at in these consoles' lifespans. They're just now starting to like figure out how to get everything out of the hardware they can. A year from now, this game is going to look super, super dated. Like, you just go back and you think to some of those series and watching how much they were able to pull out of the hardware. I think the best example is going back and looking at Uncharted 1, Uncharted 2, Uncharted 3 for the PS3 and seeing what they were able, like what that amount of time did for about what they were able to do out of the hardware. Like, I'm so pumped about this game. And it's one of those things where it's like, well, I guess if I have to wait a year for it on the PS4, I'll wait 3 years for the remastered HD version of it on whatever the new system is. Cause I mean, let's just do it that way. Because I didn't play the first one until the PS4. I never got it for PS3.
And for Tomb Raider, I know it's kind of sad to say. I mean, the first new Tomb Raider game was just excellent. Like, it played really well. It looked beautiful on the Xbox, at least. I kind of was just mentioning, you know, offhand, like, man, I'd really like to play the new one when it comes out. But it... I mean, if it was one of those things where I was like, man, I really want to play the new one when it comes out, but, oh, I have to wait a whole year. Like, it's going to be one of those things where you're like, no, I'll just pass. You know, I think that a lot of gamers aren't going to care about it in a year when it comes out for the PlayStation. They're like, whatever. Like, it's a year old game, you know? Can you imagine if any other system did that? Like,
if it's a year old game and I get it for $20, I'll pick it up. No problem. But I'm definitely not spending $60. And they may not get me to spend $40 on it.
Yeah, that's the big question with it being a timed exclusive. Like, usually a timed exclusive is a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months at the far end. A year is like, you can't charge me. Like, they can't sell it like it's a new game.
No.
Like, I feel like they're killing. I mean, Microsoft had to have ponied up a ton of money to let this happen, because they can't believe they're going to be able to sell it for $60 a year from now.
And I don't
think, especially not only that, not only just because it's a year, but because a year from now, it's going to be holiday season 2016. And it's going to be up against that entire slate of new games that comes out then.
So. Yep.
And at any point in time, I mean, I'm a huge Microsoft guy, but did they think that it was going to be worth it? Like, how much money did you have to pay to have this held off for a full year before it comes out on PlayStation? To then, I mean, was it worth it? I don't think it's ever going to be worth it for Tomb Raider. You know, like, if they could have pulled that with like Fallout, then yeah, by all means.
Yeah. Well, and I think that speaks to Microsoft has had a really rough time on the Xbox One with first party exclusives. Like, none of their exclusive title. Well, first, they don't have a ton of exclusives. Number two, they haven't released most of their exclusives with a version yet for the Xbox One, and the ones they've had have been underwhelming and or buggy. I mean, Halo 5 is the closest thing they have to a console seller, and it's been okay. But I think too many people were burned by the Master Chief Edition to get too pumped about it. So, like, the Master Chief Edition was supposed to be the game that was like, people are going to buy an Xbox now. And it didn't pan out that way. And then I think Halo 5 was that game. And I think Halo 5 probably drove a lot of people to buy an Xbox. But the fact that they had to have paid a lot to get this as a timed exclusive, and the fact that you're spending enough to get a 1 year moratorium on a third party game, I think just speaks to how desperately they want people to buy Xbox Ones right now.
And I think that's the last act of a desperate console, I'd just say.
Well, I think so, yeah. I don't know. I haven't talked to anybody who is going to purchase an Xbox One to play Tomb Raider. They might buy Tomb Raider on Xbox One because they already own one, but I don't think it's a console mover. And I think that's the only way you make your money back if you're Microsoft.
No, yeah. And I don't. Hi guys, I'm back. You know, the biggest thing that I think Xbox could do is to, you know, build
a better single player, like, I guess I feel like that's what they're trying to do with Halo, is build a better single player set of game, and then also with multiplayer. But they need something new and fresh, and it needs to be something that's exclusive and not just timed.
Yeah, and I think they've struck out on all of them so far, because you had Titanfall right around launch.
Well, and Titanfall was, I mean, it was great multiplayer, but there was zero, like, right. Campaign.
And I mean, the campaign was multiplayer, which was just weird. Especially the fact that you would play quote-unquote campaign missions, lose them miserably, and then the story would just keep moving on. Like,
yeah, it was cutscenes between campaign. It was cutscenes between multiplayer.
Right. Yeah, so I don't think that one did. That one didn't move it. Halo Master Chief Collection, with all of its issues, didn't move consoles.
I think there was an initial bump, but once, you know, it started being so, once it was so buggy,
yeah,
it dropped.
I mean, I think a lot
of those people were going to buy an Xbox anyway. They were just waiting for a Halo game to come out for it.
Yeah,
like they didn't convert anybody with that system.
I would go out on a limb and say that currently, if you were to look at statistics, probably the most played game on the Xbox One right now is probably like Destiny or something like that. Like, I can't think of an Xbox game that's like must play. Like, I feel like it's just whatever third party games on all the consoles.
I don't think there's very many really good. I mean, and this is coming from the Xbox fanboy. I don't think there's anything like really proprietary right now that Xbox is doing well with. I mean, you'll see a little bit for Halo 5, but I mean, nothing exclusively that they're doing.
Can they go dust off Fable or something like that? Is it time to reboot that game?
Well, they're doing the 4v1 Fable Legends, but that's going to be free to play. So, I mean, I don't know how they're going to manage that.
I think, I mean, I've always been a guy who's like technology. Maybe this is the scientist in me, but I was really kind of upset when Xbox said, you know, like, oh, we're going to force everyone to get Kinect now because, oh, it's such a great product. And then now they're stepping back and saying, okay, now you don't have to have Kinect anymore.
Well, I think everybody was upset about it,
but with more their way. Kinect games, I think if you gave a good reason for someone to buy an Xbox with the Kinect, you know, coming right out of the box, like, then more people would switch over to Xbox. I think the Kinect is the way to do that still, but I think that they've just kind of given up on it. They've thrown in the towel, or they have one small group of people just being like, all right, guys, what's a game changer we can do for Kinect here? You know, and I think that's the problem. I think that...
Well, when was the last time, like, a big deal Kinect game came out?
Well, I mean, they tried to do it with... what was that game?
It was the Wave Runner game. I remember the
That was the demo that came with the Xbox.
Yeah.
They did the Star Wars one.
That was Xbox 360.
Yeah, that was 360.
Because I bought the collector's edition. I've got it on the shelf over here, the R2-D2 C-3PO console.
Right.
And that game was garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but statistically, I mean, people were using the Kinect for on the 360 for... you know, video streaming and, or not video streaming, but like, you know, Skype and all that stuff. So that's why they pushed with the Xbox One, you know, home entertainment, not necessarily get up and move around and play games. You have the Dance Central games, you have, you know, the smaller fitness or, you know, the smaller third party fitness games, yogas and stuff like that. But as far as like Kinect, it's basically just going to be a gesturing and I know that they're packaging it for $100 more, but I don't know if it's worth that.
I definitely didn't start a timer when we started, and I wasn't really keeping track. And then I started a timer after we started, but I don't know how long we had been going before it. So I feel like we probably recorded a ton, and Iggy's going to have to do all sorts of editing. He's going to be pissed about it, and I think that's funny. So we probably have to wrap up here in the near future. There is some other stuff we wanted to touch on. Biggest thing, and I hate that we saved it till this end, but huge, huge, huge thanks out to everyone who backed that Bulletproof Kid Kickstarter. We got funded. I think we finished at, 120, 125%?
Yeah, I think we did hit our first stretch goal. So everybody gets a postcard or a sticker or something like that.
Yeah, super pumped about that. So everyone, that's rolling forward now with that Bulletproof Kid. On that same note, we just started our campaign for the Barons, which I'm super pumped about. Obviously, the Barons is going to have Brian Timmons is doing the art. C.W. Cook's doing the writing. C.W. Cook's, we love him. If nothing else, Solitary from Devil's Due Publishing. But there's 32 days to go on that. Well, actually, when this airs, it'll be, what, 27-ish days to go. But we're already almost at the 50% mark. And there's some really, really cool backer prizes for this one. And this is the one that Iggy and Aaron have been talking about a punch with Aaron modeling one of the characters that's in the Barons, the SME4 character. So it's going to be super cool. Because of the con crud, we didn't really get to talk about it, but next week, hopefully, we'll have a bunch of recap from things that went on at Rocky Mountain Con, was this weekend. And from the pictures I've seen, it looked like it was a ton of fun. I know Adam and I were there last year, and we had a lot of fun. It was second year last year? First year, second year?
Second year last year, third year this year.
So
we're doing huge things. I had amazing guests out there. We helped bring out Katrina Law, which was super exciting, seeing all the pictures of our team that was out there with her. She just seems like one of the coolest people.
And so, I mean, a couple of good cosplayer friends, you know, of our podcast and of you guys too, you know, Michael Wilson was there, Nightmare. Mm-hmm. And I think Alexa Hart, I saw something was posted from her. I don't know if she was there or not, but I thought I saw something on her Facebook about Rocky Mountain Con. So even if she wasn't there, she was still there in spirit too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we would have totally been there if there wasn't a local Omaha con that, I mean, it's a huge deal, Anime Nebraska Con here in Omaha. Yeah. Project Cosplay, we're going to try to make it out there for too as well.
So yeah, Project Cosplay is only, we're in November now, so only what, 2.5 months away? 3 months away?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
So
around 2.5, 3 months.
Super awesome there. I guess what else is going on? Speaking of which, super pumped about year two of Okama Con. Amazing.
Yes. That'll be very, very exciting, especially because Josh and I have volunteered to do panels, and Iggy's on board, so.
I hope so, yeah. I mean, that's where we met. Tyler, you were there, right?
I got dragooned into moderating all of the panels at like day one. It was like, hey,
Tyler, don't make it sound like you didn't want
it. I was super pumped about it, and I would have done it without. I mean, I was just going to go take over anyway, but I got to meet a lot of cool people, and I didn't do all of them. I'm making it up, but John from Worst Battle Comic Podcast Ever did a couple of them and stuff, but Ova Comic Con for a first year con, having been to some more first year cons, was amazing. It's a huge success. So we should probably wrap up or something so that Iggy doesn't have to cut half of this out. I'm totally okay if he has to, but
the console
stuff. We'll try to go easy on him a little bit. I'm sure that we're going to get some feedback about the number of weird sounds that were made and
yes,
how many ums were said. I know that I've caught myself saying more than a couple times a day. So I'm going to try not to do that anymore. I know. Now he's nice. Nails down. Nice. It's like fingernails down the chalkboard of his soul. He's not here. The inmates are running the asylum. I can just see him at home right now with his headphones just cringing each time I do that.
I think this is the most PG one we've had in a while, too.
Yeah, we didn't drop any F-bombs.
It's surprising. Yeah, he's not here, and everything remains calm. Yeah. There's peaceful conversation.
Aaron's not spouting nonsense that I have to curse at, I guess. It probably helps. I know, but hopefully everyone will be back next week. But I want to give huge thanks to our guests, Drew and Josh from Sexy Nerd Science, which you can always check out every week on projectnerd.com or Sexy Nerd Science is on Facebook. You guys have your own, I probably have your own webpage too, and I don't know what it is off the top of my head.
SexyNerdScience.com.
Look at there. So. I mean, I guess it's probably pretty easy. So ProjectNerd.com, Facebook, SexyNerdScience.com. Obviously, this is the Nerdcast with Project Nerd.
For any of the listeners that are listening in our area, we are doing the Star Wars premiere night showing. We've rented out a theater. Sadly, the Nerdcast people will probably be doing their own viewing.
I invited them, so.
He did invite us, and I might convince my wife of the drive. I don't know.
But yeah, so we are about 60% sold right now. We got about 40 tickets left. Yeah. And we're doing a big event beforehand at University of Nebraska at Omaha. We'll have the planetarium open. We're going to try and get some renderings of where things would be as far as like if they were real. But yeah, so that's going on. And you can get those from either myself or Josh.
Mostly on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
So thanks again to the Sexy Nerd Science guys. I guess my parting thought is I'm going to be in the wasteland for the foreseeable future. So if anyone needs me, that's where you can find me. Let us know on Facebook or Twitter or Podbean or ProjectNerd.com what you thought of Spectre, what you think of Fallout 4. Are you a Fallout 4 fan at all? Or are you like some of these guys and just really not your cup of tea? But that's probably going to do it for us here at the Nerdcast. For Drew and Josh from Sexy Nerd Science, and Adam, I'm Tyler from Project Nerd. Thanks for listening, and we will see you guys next week. Same nerd time, same nerd channel.
Bye, kitty.
And there's my cat.